Today's shiur is Masechet Zvachim, Daf Kuf Beis, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, three lines from the wide lines. Amar Rav. We had learnt in the previous shiur a machlokes between Rav Shimon and Yehuda versus Rav Nechemyah regarding the parsha in the Torah where the Rosh Chodesh, the Sar of Rosh Chodesh, of Rosh Chodesh Nissan, when the Mishkan was inaugurated, was burnt. And why it was burnt? Rabbi Nechemyah said it was burnt because Aaron and his sons were oyamim. And Rabbi Yehuda Shimon said that it was burnt because it was only allowed to be eaten by night. And by the time night came around, the carbon had become tamei. One of the challenges the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Shimon had versus Rabbi Nechemyah was that if the issue was that Aaron and his children were oinonim, Pinchas was not an oinon. And therefore, why couldn't a Pinchas have eaten the carbon? To which the Gemara responded that Pinchas wasn't a kohen until later on. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav. Rav makes a statement which our Gemara is going to connect to the sugyas that we've been learning. Moshe Rabbeinu Kohen Gadol. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen Gadol. The Cholik B'Kotcher Shemayim Haya, and he got a shear in the Kabbonis. Shemayim, as the prophet says, Me'el Hamelulim, from the ale that was brought during the Shemesh Shemay Hamelulim, L'Moshe Haya L'Mana, Moshe Rabbeinu received a portion. Actually, the Mepharshim say that even if Rav is going to suggest that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen, why do we have, and the proof being that he got a portion of the Eil HaMeluim, why must we say, they ask, that it was a Kohen Gadol? Why can't we just say that it was a regular Kohen? So the Karen Oira answers that since Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, did the Avodah and did the training during the Shemayna Shemay Meluim, so during those days he was certainly the Kohen Gadol, and it makes sense to say that he was the Kohen Gadol. If he was a Kohen, he was a Kohen Gadol. That's the Karen Iris Terence. The Yalas HaShacha gives a different Terence. He says that, as we know, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't a Kohen Gadol permanently. As we're going to learn further in our shir, he might have been only a Kohen Gadol during those days, or certainly his children were not Kohanim. So he makes the following point. He says, by a Kohen Gadol, we have a concept that a Kohen Gadol is a Kohen only, could be a Kohen only temporarily, because a Kohen, in fact, a Kohen Gadol isn't born a Kohen Gadol, and he doesn't necessarily remain a Kohen Gadol throughout. However, a Kohen Hedyot is a Kohen Hedyot steady. So if we're going to say that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen, it makes more sense to say that he was a Kohen Gadol. Meisvei asked the Gemara on Rav that how could you say that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen Gadol? We learned, as we quoted in our introductory remarks, that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda say to Rabbi Nechemyah, "Vlad Pinchas Hayimon, wasn't Pinchas there?" And Pinchas should have eaten the carbon if Aaron and his children couldn't. So even if we answered that Pinchas wasn't yet a Kohen, for Misa, why don't we say Lema? They could have had another challenge from Nechemyah by asking for like Moshe Rabbeinu Hayimon. Wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu with them? The fact that that wasn't the question they asked of Nechemyah is a proof that everybody agrees that Moshe Rabbeinu was not a Kohen. Answers the Gemara, Bilma Shani Moshe. It could well be that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen. So if so, why didn't he eat of the, why wasn't he the one to eat from those kabbonis? Dilma, the Torah of Shechina, because Moshe Rabbeinu was very occupied with the Shechina, as the pasuk says, the Omar, Mar, Moshe Bashkama Allah, Bashkama Yard. Moshe Rabbeinu was very busy. In the morning he went up, and the evening he went down, he was extremely busy with the Shechina, and therefore there was no suggestion that Moshe Rabbeinu should have been the one to have eaten from those kabbonis. So now Gemara is going to focus on this sugya, if Moshe Rabbeinu was or wasn't a kohen. Meisrei, the pasuk says regarding a bal mum, that as we learned and will learn, a bal mum may not do the avodah, but a bal mum does get a share of the karbonis, because the pasuk says lechav alakov mekachay kadoshim umekadoshim yachol, that the kohen bal mum is entitled to get a share both of the kachay kachim and the kachim kalim. And ask the brisa im nemru kachim kachim, if the Torah teaches us that the bal mum is entitled to the share of the kachay kachim long in nemru kachim kalim, why must we say that he's entitled to the kachim kalim, to a share of kachim kalim? Vim Nemru continues the Brisa Kachim Kalim, that is entitled to a share of the Kachim Kalim, Lama Nemru Kachim Kachim. Why must we say that he's entitled to a share of the Kachim Kachim? Answers the Brisa. Ilu Loi Nemru Kachim Kalim, if the Torah had not explicitly told us that the Bal Mum is entitled to a share of the Kachim Kalim, the Yosi Omer, we would perhaps say, Kachim Kachim Hudoichel, he's entitled to a share of the Kachim Kachim, Shrei Hutra, because we find a place where a Zor ate of the Kachi Kachim. Which Zor ate of the Kachi Kachim? Moshe Rabbeinu. As we began our share today, because Moshe Rabbeinu ate from the Eil Hamaluin. Continues the Braisa. But that's why we would say that perhaps a Bal Mum, where we have a precedent that that there is a leniency regarding Kachi Kachin, because we see that Moshe Rabbeinu the Zor ate of the Kachi Kachin. However, Kachi Kalim, the Kachi Kalim, Lo Yachlu, maybe Bal Mum should not be entitled to Kachi Kalim. Vilu Nemar, Lo Nemar Kachi Kachin. If the Torah had not said Kachi Kachin, that a Bal Mum is entitled to eat from the Kachi Kachin, Hayisi Yami, we would think, the Kachi Kalim Hu Yachlu, he's allowed to eat from the Kachi Kalim, Shein Kalim, because they're only Kachim Kalim. The Kachim Kachim, but regarding the Kachim Kachim, Lo Yoichel, he shouldn't be allowed to eat. Lekach Nemar, that's what the Torah had to say, both regarding the Kachim Kachim, or Lekach Nemar, Kachim Kalim, they're both, the Kachim Bal Mum is entitled to eat and receive a share, both of the Kachim Kachim and of the Kachim Kalim. But says the Gemara, what's relevant to us, Hare, Tanimiyah, What was the Havamina? The Havamina was that the Kohen Bal Mum should be entitled to eat from Kachi Kachim, because we have a precedent that a Zor ate from Kachi Kachim. Which Zor? Moshe Rabbeinu. Shere Hutra L'Zor Lahem. And doesn't the Braisa mean Lav? Doesn't the Braisa mean Moshe? So we see that the Braisa considers Moshe Rabbeinu a Zor, not a Kohen. How did Rav say that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Sheshes, that's not what the Braisa meant. When the Braisa wanted to say that we have a Raya regarding a Zor, a Kachi Kachim. What the Braisa meant was the Bama was Zor. As we're going to learn later in our Masechta, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, there's a question. We know that in different periods of our history, they were allowed to bring Kabbalahs on Bamas. And there's a question if a Korban Mincha, which is Kachi Kachim, was brought on a Bama. We know that when a Korban was brought on a Bama, it was brought by a Zor. So now, if we will be of the opinion that Mincha, which is Kachi Kachim, can be brought on a Bama, we'll see that even though it's Kachi Kachim, a Zor may eat of it. And therefore, we wouldn't have a Raya. And therefore, that was what the Braisa meant. It has nothing to do with Moshe Rabbeinu being or not being a Kohen. Meisrei. So I asked them another question on this opinion that holds, or Rav's opinion that holds that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen. We know there was an episode where Miriam said Lashon Hara on Moshe Rabbeinu, and Miriam was then made into a mitzvah. Meisrei asked the Gemara, Miriam Miyaskira, who is the Kohen? We know for somebody to be identified as a mitzvah, they have to be declared so by a Kohen. So the Braisa discusses Miriam Miyaskira, who is the one that identified Miriam to be a mitzvah. in time of Moshe's Gira, if we'll say that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that did it, says the Braisa, Moshe Zarhu. Moshe is a Zar. And a Zar is not qualified to declare Bein Zar, Rais and a Gun. And a Zar is not qualified to declare someone as a Mitzor. Then time of Aaron is Gira, if we'll say that it was Aaron Karfu. Aaron was a Karv, then Karv Rais and a Gun. And a Karv may not be the one to declare a Kohen, who's a Karev, can't declare that somebody is a Mitzvah. So all the Mepharshim asked the obvious question. Why doesn't the Braisa say that Moshe Rabbeinu was disqualified from declaring Miriam as a Mitzvah? Because he too was a Karev. So the Mepharshim give many thoughts. The Mashah says that the Gemara could have indeed given that Teretz. But the Braisa didn't want us to make a mistake and think that the only disqualification that Moshe Rabbeinu had was the fact that he was a Karev, and that we should think that perhaps he was indeed a Kayyid. So that's why the Braisa says Moshe Rabbeinu was a Zor. That's the Mashah's Teretz. Another Teretz that the Mepharshim suggest is that the Halacha is that a relative may not be a Dayan, but if the litigants accept upon themselves, knowing that this individual is a relative, and they still accept upon themselves that he could be a Dayan, then the fact that he's a relative is not an issue. And that perhaps was the case with Moshe Rabbeinu. If not for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Zor, the only issue being that he was a relative, it could well be that Miriam would have accepted Moshe Rabbeinu to be the Kohen, even though he's a relative. A Zar is not something that could obviously be forgiven. Another pshat that I sort of Mepharshim suggest, that we know that the Torah calls Moshe Rabbeinu Ish HaElokim. Moshe Rabbeinu was the man of Elokim. So since Moshe Rabbeinu was the Ish HaElokim, the regular halachas that apply to regular people don't apply to Kroivim, and all these halachas don't apply by Moshe Rabbeinu. But the fact that he wasn't a Kohen remains an issue. Along the same lines, I saw that the Beis Yisrael explains. He quotes the Baal Shem. Baal Shem Tov says that if somebody sees some flaw, somebody sees some defect in someone else, it's only a reflection of himself. It means that if we see a virus by somebody else, it must be that we have some sort of connection to that Aveira. So he says, Moshe Rabbeinu, who was such a holy individual, Tzaras, we know, emanates from Aveira. Moshe Rabbeinu clearly had no connection to Tzaras, which represents Aveira, and therefore a person like Moshe Rabbeinu was not qualified. He was a Zor. He was considered a stranger as far as Tzaras is concerned. He had no connection to Aveira. The Ostrovtsis has a very interesting terrace. He says, actually, how could there be a concern about relatives, in this time, when we know that a Gershon is Gaya Kukotn Shinoila Dami, every Ger is considered like he has halachically no relatives, and all of Klal Yisrael were Gerim, became Gerim by Kabbalah Satoira. So why was there an issue? Says the Ostritzer, when is there a concept of Gershon as Gai Kukotin Shinoi Ladami? That's only when someone accepts Geirus upon himself voluntarily. But if he's forced into Geirus, then we don't say Gershon as Gai Kukotin Shinoi Ladami. So now, all of Klal Yisrael, says the Ostritzer, we know the Gemara Masechta Shabbos says, Kof Aleim HaKigigas, were forced into accepting Geirus. Since they were forced into accepting Geirus, we don't have the concept of Gershon's guy who cut the Shinoil Adami. Moshe Rabbeinu, however, accepted the Gerus upon himself voluntarily. So he, halachically, was not considered a relative of Miriam. Everyone else were considered relatives. Continue the Mepharshim to ask, but what about Pinchas? Pinchas could have been the Kohen to determine if Miriam was a Mitzaras or not. So I saw a number of Turtzim. One Teretz is certainly according to the opinions that say that that Pinchas did not become a Kohen until the story of Zimri, or until later during the times of Yeshua, clearly he wasn't yet a Kohen. Another teretz is that Pinchas was a great nephew of Miriam, and since Pinchas was a great nephew of Miriam, he too was considered a relative that could not be the Kohen to determine if she was a Tzaras. Another pshat that I saw is that Pinchas certainly would not have spoken in front of his grandfather Aaron the Kohen Gadol, and since Aaron was standing there, Pinchas, that's what happened with the story with Miriam, Aaron and Moshe, that's why Pinchas could not have been the one to say that she was a Kohen Gadol. Ella, says the Gemara, Kavod Gadol Chalak Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Miriam Moshe Shah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Miriam tremendous honor at that time. Hashem said, Ani Kohen, I am a Kohen. Ani Cholta, I'm going to be the one to confine her. Ani Cholta, the Rishonim actually said that they didn't go through all of these steps. They weren't all necessary in the case of Miriam. Ani Poitra, and I will be the one to release her. Ketanim, yes, says the Gemara, but what do we see from here? The Moshe Zar. The Brisa clearly indicated that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Zar, and that's why it's Ein Royas in the Goyim. So Rav asked the Gemara to suggest that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen? Answers the Gemara, Amar of Nachman Yitzchak, Shani Maris the Goyim. As far as declaring someone a Mitzayra, clearly Moshe Rabbeinu was not qualified for that, because the Pasuk says that Aaron Ubanov Ksuvim Parasha, the Pasuk says Aaron Ubanov, and Moshe Rabbeinu clearly wasn't Aaron Ubanov. So the Mepharshim asked the question. The Shaul Shaivitz asked this question. Here the Gemara is saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed great honor to Miriam by being the Kohen that declared her to be the Mitzaras. Asked the Mepharshim, the Shaul Shaivitz, on the contrary, it wasn't a great covenant at all, because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu had not declared her a Mitzayra. As the Gemara just finished saying, there was no one else that was able to declare her a Mitzayra. And since there was no one else that was able to declare her a Mitzayra, so then she would have remained Tahar. So what's the great honor that Hashem showed? So I saw that the Shaul Shaivitz answers that if a person is obviously a Mitzayra, as was the case by Miriam, where it was very obvious that she was a Mitzayra, she is a Mitzayra. The only thing is that if a Kohen declares that individual to be a Mitzayra, so they'll become a Mitzayra, and then they have an opportunity also to become, to lose the Tzaras. But if they're not declared a Mitzayra, they will just remain a Mitzayra for the whole life. So the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu declared her a Mitzayra also gave her the opportunity to lose that title of being a Mitzayra, and like that she would indeed ultimately become Tahar and be able to go back into Klal Yisrael. So our Gemara has actually now taught us a new category. The Moshe Rabbeinu, even if we'll say that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen, we will see that Moshe Rabbeinu was sort of a quasi-Kohen. He was a quasi-Kohen. He wasn't part of Aaron and Bonav. And actually, the Mepharshim used this category that Moshe Rabbeinu is not to be considered a full-fledged Kohen to answer many questions. One question they ask is that we know that a Kohen is not allowed to marry a divorcee, even his own divorcee. Yet we know that Moshe Rabbeinu married Tzipora, then he divorced her, and then he took her back. But how could he do so if he was a Kohen? So of course the simple teretz is that it happened before Kabbalah Satira, and before Kabbalah Satira, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't yet a Kohen. But if we're assuming, as the Gemara says, that Moshe Rabbeinu was aware that he'll be a Kohen, so how could he take him back a divorcee? Similarly, we find the Torah speaks about the case where Yisrael came to the Midbar
and Moshe Rabbeinu, and then he made a big feast in honor of his father-in-law Yisroi. And Moshe Rabbeinu was the waiter who served everyone at that feast. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kayin. Actually, we're going to learn that Moshe Rabbeinu was also a Melech. And the question is, how could Moshe Rabbeinu, let's focus here about the Kuna aspect. How could if he serve? So again, according some of Farshim say, as before Kabbalah Satayra, others say that even if it was after Kabbalah Satayra, showing honor to one's father-in-law is so important that even a Kayin may do so. But there are Mefarshim that explain that there are two concepts in Halacha. There's a concept of Kedushas Kahuna, and there's a concept of Mishpachas Kahuna. And the Kedushas Kahuna is very different than the Mishpachas Kahuna. Moshe Rabbeinu certainly, according to Rav, had the concept of Kedushas Kahuna. But he didn't have yet the concept, he didn't have the category of Mishpachas Kahuna. And all of these special rules that we just explained that apply to Kohanim only apply to Kohanim who are from the Mishpachas Kahuna, not just ones that only have Kedushas Kahuna. Ask them another question on the opinion of Rav that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen. Meisrei, ask the Gemara, it says in the Braisa, Chomesh Smachos, five special reasons for rejoicing, Hoysa Elisheva Yisera B'nois Yisrael, that Elisheva have versus all other Jewish women. Yevama Melech, her brother-in-law was a king. Her brother-in-law Moshe Rabbeinu, who, if her husband Chas V'Shalom would die without children, would be her Yavam, was the Melech of Israel. So there's an incredible child Satchuvah's Torah Lishma. He asks, what's the nafkamina if Moshe Rabbeinu, her brother-in-law, was a Melech or not? So he says, clearly, if there's a situation where we have a group of women, and one of the women is the wife of a Talmud Chacham, so we certainly have to show that woman greater respect than all the other women in the group. But he goes on to say, let's say there's a woman who has a brother who is a Talmud Chacham versus all the other women, that is a reason to show her more honor. And, he says, if there's a woman who has a brother-in-law who's a Kohen, then you have to show that woman greater respect. The Gemara identifies Elisheva as being a woman who had a brother-in-law, Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the Melech, and because she had such a brother-in-law, she deserves more respect. Isha, her husband, was a Kohen Gadol. Bena, her son, Elazar, was the Skan, was the assistant Kohen Gadol. Ben Bena, her grandson, Pinchas, was the Meshuach Muhammad. Here too it's a question, how could a Pinchas been appointed Meshuach Muhammad? The Meshuach Muhammad is supposed to be a king, and it's supposed to be a Kohen, and according to what we learned in our previous year, he wasn't necessarily a Kohen until later on. So the Mepharshim explained that either we're going according to Manda Omer that Pinchas was a Kohen from beginning. Another pshat is that even if Pinchas wasn't yet an active Kohen Gadol, but to be a Meshuach Mechama, since he was from the family of Kohanim, he's qualified. Another pshat is that they didn't really need a Meshuach Mechama at this time. They only needed a Meshuach Mechama 40 years later when they were coming to leave to go hold battle with Midian. By that time, he was indeed a Kohen. Vachia, her brother Nachshon ben Aminadav, was Nasi Shevet, was the Nasi of Shevet Yehuda. Vavela, but on that day also, she was an Avel al Shnei Benho, on her two sons, Nadav and Aviyah. But Ketanius, it says here, that Yevama Melech, that her brother-in-law was the king. It says, Melech in, that he was only the king, Kohen Gadol Loi. How isn't this proof that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't a king? Says the Gemara, Eimer, the way to understand was to understand the Gemara Af Melech, that not only was he a Kohen, but he was also a king. But this Braisa doesn't necessarily mean that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't a Kohen. So ask the Mefarshim, if this Braisa is teaching us that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Melech, so we go back to what we learned earlier, spoke about earlier, that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that served Yisroi and there's a din sign tasim alecha melech shitei amasa alecha, that there has to be the fear of king on you, and melech shemach al kvoidai ein kvoidai machol. So how could Moshe Rabbeinu been the one to serve them? Answers the Meshech Chachma. When is there a halacha of sign? When is there a halacha of melech shemach al kvoidai ein kvoidai machol? Only at a time where there is an obligation to appoint a king. At the time when there's an obligation to appoint a king, that obligation comes with the obligation to show him great honor and respect. But at this time, he wasn't yet, that rule wasn't yet operative. Since that rule wasn't that yet wasn't yet operative, he was allowed to be Michael on his covet. The Mefarshim also asked, what is the point of this Braisa? That the Braisa wants to teach us that she had five reasons to be happy and two reasons not to be happy. So some of Farshim explain that what the Braisa is trying to teach us is that even at a time when a person has much reason to be happy, that doesn't change the halacha of Aveilus. Another pshat that I saw is that maybe indeed we see from here the issue of an ayin hara. Because she had so many good things going for her, that's why maybe there was an ayin hara and her sons unfortunately passed away. Tzitz Eliezer has a very different approach. His approach is to teach us that a person, and this is what our perspective to life is supposed to be. You're supposed to be, there are reasons to be happy in life, and there are reasons to be, unfortunately, sometimes reasons to be unhappy in life. And a person who follows the proper perspective, indeed, doesn't confuse the two. It doesn't allow the aveilus to completely overtake him, nor does that person allow the simcha to completely overtake them. They're able to have the perspective of both. But the Mefarshim asks, all these things that apply to Elisheva apply equally to a husband Aaron. So why does the Braisa speak from the perspective of Elisheva versus from the perspective of Aaron? So some Mefarshim suggest, because actually Aaron did not have to show Aveilus. Because, as we know, Aaron was the Kohen Gadol, and as we have been learning, a Kohen Gadol does the Avodah even when he is an Oinon. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw is that all of these great things that happened to this family all happened because of the great women in the family. Because there was in the family such a great woman like Elisheva, she was the one that because of her she had children and grandchildren and a husband and a brother, all such great individuals all came from Elisheva. Says the Gemara, actually this question, if Moshe Rabbeinu was a Meluch or not, suggests the Gemara is actually a Machlokes Tanoim. Because the Pasuk says, V'yichar af Hashem v'Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry at Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry at Moshe Rabbeinu by the snare when he was trying to refuse the leadership position that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving him. Says the Gemara, B'shum HaKarach Oimer, Kol Charoin Af Shebetoiro. Whoever the Torah uses the word Charoin Af, Nembo Roshim. The Torah says there was a mark left from this anger. V'zeh Eloi Nembo Roshim. But here, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry at Moshe Rabbeinu, there was no mark left. However, Rav Shimon ben Yochai Oimer, Abzen them by Roshan. Here too was their Roshan. Shenema, because the Pasuk says, Haloi Aaron Achicha HaLevi. The Pasuk says that Aaron, your brother the Levi. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes Aaron HaKayim. Ask the Gemara, was Aaron a Levi? We know, Haloi Aaron Kayim HaKayim. Aaron was a Kayim. So why is the Pasuk calling him a Levi? Says the Mahakakama. This is what happened. Ani amarti, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ani amarti at the Kohen v'hu Levi, that you should be the Kohen and he will be the Levi. Achsha, because you're refusing my order, things will change, and what will be is, hu Kohen v'ata Levi. He will be the Kohen and you will be the Levi. So, I saw a beautiful vart for Meir Shapiro, the Sefer Imrei Das, to explain what happened here. He says that we all know that Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he's an Aras Kosayim, that he had a speech impediment, and therefore he isn't the person to be the leader and the spokesperson to Pharaoh, the spokesperson for Klal Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and healed him. He healed that speech impediment. Said Moshe Rabbeinu to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I until now was a person that was a kfat peh, that had this speech impediment. And because of your nes that you made for me, I now have the ability to speak. Is it appropriate, he said, that I should use my mouth, which is the vehicle of a nes, that it should be used to speak to Paroi? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you're right. What did Levim do? The Levim are the one that sang in the Beis HaMikdash. You, Aaron will be the Kohen, and you should be the Levi. You should use your voice that now has been healed through its nes to sing to Hashem, not to do anything else. The Moshe Rabbeinu was a kohen only for the Shiva Shemayim alone. The Yeshayim, others however say, Lo Poska Kuna El Mazar Shel Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was a kohen forever. What happened was his children did not merit to be kohanim. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Umoshe Isha Elikim, Banav Yikar Hashem Levi. His children, not he. Vaimer, Moshe Aram Bechana, Shmuel Bekar Shemai. Ask the Mamai Vaimer, why did the Brice have to quote two Pesukim? Says Rabbi Chitema, because if we would only have the first Pasuk, L'dorus Hudiksiv, we would say that the Pasuk is teaching us that where do Moshe Rabbeinu's children fit? Are they Kohanim or Levim? But we have no indication from this Pasuk how to understand what Moshe Rabbeinu was. That's why the pasuk says, "For Omer Moshe be'Aaron b'Kohanov." The pasuk clearly calls Moshe Rabbeinu a kohen, so we see that Moshe Rabbeinu was considered a kohen. Ask the Gemara, "Is that true?" We started the Kol Charoin Af. Ask them of Kol Charoin Af Shabbatayrah. Is it true that whenever the Torah used the word Charoin Af, Nasa Baroshim, it means that a mark was left? The Ksiv, the Yetsim Imparoi b'Charoin Af. The pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu left in a great anger. Where's the V'layamalei V'laymidi? And we don't see any mark left from this. Amrish Lakish Satra V'yotza. He indeed slapped him and before he walked out. Ask the Gemara, Omi Amrish Lakish Hafi, is a Shlakish the one that says that that's the way Moshe Rabbeinu acted to Paroi, the Ksiv? Does the pasuk seven Nitzaftel Kross Asfas Ayar Amr Shlokish Melechu? He's a king. V'haz b'loy panim, and you have to show him respect. Rabbi Yochanan Amr Roshahu, he's a Rosh of Hayes Panachba. So how could Shlokish be the one to suggest that he was showing him that he slapped him, when we see that Amr Shlokish is the one that says that he showed him that he should show him, he doesn't have to show him respect? So Mefarshim asks, the question of the Gemara is the contradiction in the opinion of Reish Lakish. So why does the Gemara have to quote the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan? So I sort of mafarshim answer. If we wouldn't have Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, we would think that Reish Lakish really agrees that a king who's a Rasha could be disrespected. But at that point, perhaps he was still a tzaddik. And that's why Reish Lakish says, show him respect. So is the Gemara, that clearly, at that point already, Paroi was not a tzaddik. What's the raya? The raya being that Rabbi Yochanan says, hey, is panecha. You don't have to show him respect. So what? So now we have a contradiction in the opinion of Reish Lakish. So the Gemara says, Eipach, we have to, in fact, change the opinion. Reish Lakish is the one that shows that you could show him, hey, is panecha. And Rabbi Yochanan is the one that says that you show him respect. Amar Rabbi Yanai, Loyalim te emus malchus alecha. One always has to show respect to the king. The ksiv, the pasuk says, that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Paroi, that after Makas Bechairis, v'yardu kol avadecha elai, all of your servants will come here. V'ilu l'deila kamalei. He didn't say that that will happen to the Paroi will come running. Even though ultimately Paroi did come running, he still didn't speak that way to him. Rav Yochanan Amar Mehacha. The pasuk says that Eliyahu challenged Achav, who believed in the Avodah Zarah, and he brought fire, and they brought fire, and we all know the great nes that happened at that time, that Eliyahu, the fire came down for the carbon of Hashem, for Eliyahu, and not for their carbon. But even after that incident, V'yad Hashem hoitz Eliyahu, V'shanes Mosnov, V'yaros Lufnei Achav. Eliyahu was the one that ran in front of Achav, even though Achav was a tremendous Rasha. He still showed him respect. Others say that he showed him respect because of he thought that maybe at that moment he had already done tshuva after seeing the great nes that had happened. Mefarshim, the Paiskim, discussed this issue of covered malchus, specifically covered malchus of a melech who is a rasha. And what I seem to have understood from the Paiskim is that there are two rules. There's a rule of showing respect, and there's a rule of hoping and praying that the king's monarchy or the government should continue. And they say, it matters no matter who is the king, we are obligated to show respect to the king. But we're not obligated in any way to hope and daven that the kingdom of Russia continue. Amu'ula, Bikesh Moshe Malchus, Moshe Rabbeinu requested Malchus, v'loy nosnu lo, and it wasn't given to him. Diksiv al tikra haloi, vein haloi el malchus. Shenemar mi anoich Hashem alakim. Dovra Melech says this kivisani ala ar haloi. So ask the Gemara, how can we say that Moshe Rabbeinu did not get malchus? Masav Rava, we learned earlier that what was one of the things that Elisheva was so happy about, the Rishema Omer Yivam Melech, that Abramla was a king, so we see that he was a king. Amarava, loyal Zara Kama. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted Malchus for him and his descendants, and it didn't happen. Ask the Gemara, the Kalhecha, the Ksiv Haloim, the Dairusu, doesn't mean that it's going to happen for all future generations. For Gabishol, the Ksiv, Havoy Oid Haloim Ish, who in Zara Loy, that only he and not his children. Ibai same says the Gemara, Hahavi Ishbaishis. There was Ishbaishis who was Shaul's king and was king over Kleistro for 2 years. So the Malchus did go to his children. Bibai say Mishan Ishmael, Tafil Begavei Loik Khan. Shaul didn't even hold on to the kingdom for himself. Krebelazar Amchanina, Ishaul Shapaiskim Gdul Adam. When a person gets greatness, Paiskim Loyal Uzara at Tsoif Kaladoyus. It is given to him for all future generations. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Lo yigra mitzadik enov ves melachim lekise. It goes to him forever. However, mehegis tato, if one is arrogant, kadosh baruch hu mashpiloi. Shenemar v'im asurim bezekim yukatun bechavli oini. And Shaul was arrogant to Shmuel, and that's why he lost the greatness. So I saw a tremendous fortune of some sefer. The some sefer says, if our Gemara is teaching us now, Rav Elazar is teaching us, that b'shar shepaiskim gedul al adam, paiskim loy lazara at soif kaladoros, it's left by him and all future generations. Ask the Chassam Sofer, so why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to be mispalel that his children should be kings? If he's king, his children will be king. Says the Chassam Sofer, from here we see that even though kingdom or any position of authority is given by Yerusha, it's only given by Yerusha if the children of the person are deserving of it. If they're not deserving of it, even though B'shar Shepaiskin Gedul Adam Paiskin Loyal Zara Akrav, that's not if the children aren't deserving. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was misfollowed, and unfortunately his tefillah wasn't even answered, that that his children should be deserving to be his successors. Otherwise, it doesn't happen automatically. So we learned in the Mishnah, the Baal and Mumin, whether the Baal and Mumin kavuin or Baal or not Baal kavuin, they get a share in the kabbalas. Menani mili. How do we know that so is the halacha? The Tana Rabbanan, Kol Zochra, the Rabbis Baal and Mumin, Lamai. What does the pasuk come to include Baal and Mumin for? Ilach ilah, that they get a portion of the kabbalas. Harek fanemar. Lechem, we quoted the pasuk earlier. Lechem al kav mekaydish kadoshim yoichel. Ela lechaluka, that they not only get allowed to eat from the kabbalas, but they actually get a share of the kabbalas. Tani ida, another brayso. Kol Zochra, Lerabbis Baal and Mumin. Again, to include Baal and Mumin. Ask them, what is this pasuk coming to teach us? Lamai. Ilach ilah, that they're entitled to eat from the kabbalas. Harei kfar omer. The pasuk already, we already had a pasuk to teach us so. Ilach haluka, if they, that they get a shear, so too, harei kfar omer, that they're entitled. Shiochel, says the Gemara, says the Braisa, we would think, Eli ela tan v'nas balmum, only such an individual who was originally not a balmum should be entitled to a shear. However, an individual who was a balmum yikara, that was a balmum, and that was always a balmum, Minayin, that he too is entitled to a share, Tamil Leimer, that's why the Torah says the words, Kol Zochar. Tani Idach, another Braisa, Kol Zochar, Lerabbis Balmum. It comes to include a Balmum. And again, the question is, Lamai, what are we trying to include a Balmum for? Ilach Ila, that he's entitled to eat, Rei Kfar Omer, we've already learned that. Ilach Luka, that he gets a share, that too, Rei Kfar Omer. Vila Balmum Yikar, that even if he was born a Balmum, he's entitled to a shear. That too are a Kvayamar we've learned. Shiochel, says the Gemara, we need this pasuk to teach us. Eli El Balmum Kavua, only a permanent Balmum. Balmum Oiver Minayin, how do we know that this halach even applies to Balmum that's not permanent? Tamaloymer Kozocher. Ask the Gemara Klapalaya, just the opposite makes sense. If a person is a full-fledged Balmum, is entitled to eat. Certainly, if he's only a temporary balmum, he's entitled to a shear. Says the Gemara, Amar Sheshes is indeed apoch. Vashem Malay on the paper. Vitzra, because we need a pasuk to teach us the halacha of a balmum over. Because Sal Kedai Techamina, we might have thought ki tamei. We should compare a balmum over, a balmum of a passing mum, to somebody who's tamei. Ma tamei, kam doi tar vai ochel. As long as he's not tar, he can't eat. Because when he'll become tar, he'll be allowed to eat. Here too, we should think, Av Hachinami, this person who's a Baal Mum Oiver, we should assume, Kamadalai Masakit, until he won't become healthy again, Loi Ochel, he shouldn't be allowed to eat, Hamash Malan, that even while he's Baal Mum, he's entitled to eat, entitled to get a share of the Kabbalas. Kosh and Roy, we learned in the Mishnah, whoever can't do the Avoida, doesn't get a share in the meat of the Kabbalas. Veloi, ask the Gemara, we just learned Barai Balmum, the Lav Roy Lavoida, he's an individual who can't do the Avoida, and yet Choylik he gets a share. The Su, furthermore, is that true, Haroy Lavoida Choylik, that anybody who's qualified to do the Avoida gets a share in the Kabbonis? Harei Tamei the Kabbonis Sibur, what about a Tamei by a carbon Sibur, that we know that Loch is Tamei Huchabit Sibur, and he's allowed to get, do the Avoida, the Rule Avoida, he could do the Avoida, yet there ain't a Choylik. Says the Gemara, Roy Lachila. What our Tanav HaMishnah meant is whoever is not eligible to eat kabbonis doesn't get a shear. And a Tamei, even if he could do the Avoida, can't eat from the kabbonis. Ask the Gemara, for a cotton, on the other hand, what about a cotton? The Roy Lachila, a cotton can eat from kachim, but we learned at the beginning of this parak, he doesn't get a shear. So the Gemara, Halak Tani. The Mishnah didn't say whoever is eligible to eat gets a shear. The Mishnah says whoever is not eligible doesn't get a shear. Says the Gemara, now that we're not making the diyukim this way, so we could go back to the original kasha. Hashdos lahachi loyelum kadamim yikar, as we said originally. Imishum tamei, and if you say there's a, that, as we said, whoever is not fit to do avoida doesn't get a shear. Imishum tamei, and if you'll ask the question regarding somebody who's tamei, who could do the avoida and doesn't get a shear, Pamalatani. The Mishnah isn't teaching us anything explicitly about somebody who can do the Avoida automatically getting a share, and therefore it isn't a question. I, Bamum, who clearly can't do the Avoida and yet gets a share. So the Gemara, as we learned in the previous share, Rachmana Rabbi, the Torah clearly teaches us that he's entitled to a share. I feel Tami v'shas Zrikas Damim. We learned in our Mishnah, even if he was Tami by the Zrikas Damim, he was Tor v'shas Hekta Chalovim Ein Echoyuk. Makes the Gemara the following deed. Hotor v'shas Zrikas Damim. If he was Tor in the time of Zrikas Damim, the Tami v'shas Hekta Chalovim, but he was Tami by the Hekta Chalovim, Choyuk. In other words, our Mishnah is saying that the crucial moment is Zrikas Damim. Why is that the crucial moment? Very understandable. Because we know that the Zrikas Stam is what brings the Kapara. So since it's the Zrikas Stam that brings the Kapara, it's the Zrikas Stam which is the crucial moment. Says the Gemara, Masnissen, however, our Mishnah is the Loik Abishol, is not following the opinion of Abishol. The Tanya Abishol Omer, Loilamena Oichel Achi Etor, a person is not entitled to get a share of the carbon unless he's tar mishas zrika ad shas hekta chalovim, from the time of zrika until the time of hekta chalovim. Don't akra, because the pasuk says hamakrif estam hashlamim vesachelif tefila hekta chalovim nami bayi. Because as the mafarshim explained, Abishol's opinion is since you can't eat of the meat until this hekta chalovim, so we see that the hekta chalovim is crucial. The Farshim do point out, if that's the explanation of Abishol, what will be the halakha if there is no Amram? That the carbon is still kosher carbon, what will be Abishol's opinion? Furthermore, the Farshim also point out that it could be that Abishol will agree that the Kohen who did the Avoida, we discussed this earlier in our parak, being such an important part of the Avoida, it could well be that that Kohen, as long as he did the Zrikas Dam, is entitled to a shear. Boy Ravashi. So Gemara asks, according to Abishol's opinion, Nitin Benatayim, if the Kohen became Tomei between the time of Zrikas Dam and Hekta Chalovim, and then he became Tar again, Mahu, what will Abishol require? Does Abishol require the Shas Rik, the Shas Hektar Binim, that he be qualified? And he was. Or Dima Achei Tar, he has to be Tar throughout the Shas Rikas Dam, and the Gemara remains with this question with a takeover.